see you this morning. Thanks for coming out. We are living in interesting times, are we not? This reminds me the most of the morning of 9/11 in terms of just how it kind of changes your life for a little bit and creates a sense of instability. Praise God that we serve a God who never changes. That's the good thing about this. Like it says on the bottom of the screen there, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness." And at the end of the day, our trust is in the Lord. But God calls us to be prudent as well. And so I want to just spend a little bit of time this morning talking about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so that you know, the result of this, the content of this meeting was derived from a kind of an emergency board meeting that we had yesterday morning with all the members of the church board, all the deacons, and Brother Davey and myself and Pastor Caleb. Just looking at what is the right response. As you know, the situation has been unfolding rapidly and changing with just about every day. And it was just this past week that we received the statewide ban on gatherings of 250 or more, which affects our church on their Sunday morning at least. And so that being said, it just prompted us to make some decisions earlier than we were going to. We were already in the process, but that prompted some other things. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll go through the information here and answer any questions you have. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, and thank you for the time we have to be together. And Lord, just discuss these things. God, we are in this world, not of it, but we're in it, and we're part of it, dear God. And we certainly are not immune to the things that flow through this world. So God, I pray you'd give us, first of all, great faith in you. Lord, then secondly, you'd give us sound mind that you'd promise through your Holy Spirit that we'd have good judgment and act with prudence. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. And I pray, dear God, also that we would, during this time, really reach out and especially magnify the role of the New Testament church as a family, dear God, knitly joined together, and reach out to each other and encourage each other and take it as an opportunity to establish some relationships that, Lord, maybe busyness normally would not allow. So I thank you now for this time. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to start with a few verses here. Romans 8:28. You probably know it by heart, but I want to just share it with you and just remind you of a few things. I was sharing with the board that this is not at all, to me, unlike a major SWAT event where when you get there, you have some information, and as it unfolds, you make adjustments as you go. You have to become comfortable with just a certain amount of information at a time. Romans 8 and verse 28, reminding what it says here, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And I just want to share that God is not taken by surprise by this at all. He is fully aware of this. We talk about getting ahead of it as a country or as a state or as a town. But the fact of the matter is, this did not catch God by surprise at all. And he's fully capable of taking care of us just like he always has. None of that has changed. Also, I want to just encourage us, Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Pastor Caleb and I see this, while we did not request that this happen to us, we see it as an opportunity to strengthen the fabric of our church family by reaching out to each other during this time, checking on each other and things like that. And so I wanted just to share some verses from there. Chapter 12, verse 10. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." So those are very practical things. When you go through that list and you think about what's going on here, there's probably something on that list that we could reach out to someone and do and help them with, okay? One of the things that we're going to be putting in place is a care team. And what that looks like is if you are a person or you know of a person who really shouldn't be out and about, because there are certain demographics that are more easily affected by this disease and it's more deadly for them, then we'll talk more about that in a minute. But we want to make it so that they can call into the church office and say, "I'm one of those people. I would love to have somebody get my groceries so I don't go into a packed grocery store." We also would love to have people call and say, "I'm one of those people that can go get groceries. I'm not in a high-risk group at all, and I could do that." So we're going to pair up people with other people to help meet needs during this time. And the idea is that we meet those needs right now, but those relationships continue past this event. So we're going to work hard to take care of each other, and Pastor Caleb and I in the office will be facilitating that. The last one there is in Romans 13. Some might think, well, can the governor really command us to not have a church service over 250 and things like that? It's important we remember what it says here. This is not a persecution question. This is not them saying you can't preach the gospel. This is saying we need everybody's help in stemming the tide of this infection. So look at Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute the wrath upon him that doeth evil. Therefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. It's important we know that we need to make sure we do our part. We think, well, we're canceling church for 3 weeks. That seems pretty crazy. Well, last winter we canceled church for 3 weeks for snow. And that was not nearly the kind of thing that this is. So to put it in context, that's important to consider. The other thing that is important to understand is that when you look at the history of this as it's developed in some of the other countries, and even over in the East Coast, one of the biggest places where it is spread rapidly is in churches. The church in South Korea that refused to acknowledge this issue and refused to not meet was the epicenter of their entire pandemic in their country. And now they're looking at charging the pastors with negligent homicide for all the people that died because they didn't do something prudent. In New Rochelle, back in the East Coast, that whole issue began because a priest was infected and did the communion for the whole congregation. And they were where they share the cup and all that kind of stuff. I mean, so we have to do our part, okay? It's important that we realize we're not just caring for the people in our church. We're caring for the community that we're in as well. And we're also part of that community, and we need to make sure we're having a good testimony. So I want everyone to understand that we're not doing this out of fear. We're doing this because this is a responsible thing that we can do. And we all know that this is not the church. This is the church, okay? And we can stay in contact. We can connect. We can reach out. We can do all the things that we would normally do except gather together during this time to maintain those close relationships and build them even stronger. So let's talk about some of the practical aspects of the virus. The most effective way to stop transmission is social distancing. If you're not near someone that has it, you can't get it. And if somebody who has it is not near anybody, they can't give it. That's the simplest way to stop it. The whole idea of closing all the schools and closing the churches and things like that was to make more social distancing, because the less people there are interacting, the less chance there is for the virus to spread. And that's very important that be the case. For most people that are young, it oftentimes looks like just a common cold. If you look at the demographic of who gets it and who actually suffers the most from it, the demographic that's the most vulnerable is anyone from 60 years on up. 60 on up, they are 54% of the people that contracts the virus. And they're the group that has almost all of the deaths other than people that are younger but have compromised health systems. So it's very important that we realize we're protecting a lot of our seniors and people with compromised health issues. For a simple example, Carla Legg has a lung issue, okay? And the doctor told her, if you get this, you'll die. As far as the doctor, that's he's concerned, you can't get this, okay? And if you think about it, think of all of our teachers and Master Club workers as staff. How many of them are in that vulnerable group? A lot of them, okay? And they're also very devoted. So if we have church, guess where they're going to be? They're going to be here because they're devoted. The only way to keep them from doing that is to not have them be able to do that. And I've gotten feedback from many of them who said, I'm really relieved to hear that. I'd have been there, but thank you so much. And there are also some people in the church who have unsaved siblings or unsaved husband or wife, and they're looking and see how the church responds to this from a testimony perspective. So there's lots of things to consider. Closing the schools is great because the kids are like a germ factory. And by separating them out and putting them all, and we all know they are, because one kid gets in the nursery and he has a cold nobody knows about yet, and next thing you know, everybody's got a cold. Or if you have kids, I didn't get any colds for the longest time until we had grandchildren. And now those little things are back with them. But so it's important that we understand that. As it relates to the virus itself, in Benton County and Franklin County, there's still no reported cases of the virus. So we're in a good position that way. There's not one. There's four cases in Yakima that have been reported. And when you look at the state over the last 3 days, the number of cases in the state jumped by 117 cases in one day and by another 70 the next day. And the more that we isolate and self-contain and things like that, especially the high-risk groups, the better the likelihood that we'll slow that down. Now, why do we have to do that? Well, this kind of shows you the idea. And the idea is simply that if there's no intervention, no social distancing and things like that, no hygiene factors and safety issues, then the epidemic or pandemic will strike like that. It'll be a giant peak. And that peak will overwhelm the medical systems and everything else. They're seeing that in Italy right now. They actually have whole patient wards in gymnasiums and things like that. And that's because they didn't get ahead of it in time, okay? So by getting ahead of it, by social distancing especially, and then cleaning, it moves that, this same amount of people may get it, but probably not, but it moves that down below the healthcare system capacity. So we're not overwhelming the healthcare system with ill people, which is really important as well. That being said, there's a couple of other things up here I want to talk about from a church perspective. Cleaning surfaces. The virus can last on a surface up to 4 days, okay, just sitting on a surface, which would mean that every time we had a Bible study of any kind, we'd have to literally clean everything that was touched, not just clean it, but sanitize everything that was touched, or leave it for 4 days before the next thing touched. So you think about Bible study, Wednesday night, Thursday Bible study, Sunday night. There's a couple of practical aspects to this. Who's been to a store lately? What do the shelves look like? A store. Yeah, can't get anything. Well, we took a stock and inventory of all of our cleaning supplies and perishable goods like toilet paper and things like that, things that are right now not on any shelves. And if we're not careful, we'll run out before we can get more. Okay, so that'd be a pretty awkward thing to say. You're welcome to come to church, but you can't use the bathroom. And the other thing is, we don't have the professional cleaning staff to sanitize after everything. So the ladies' Bible study meets, they touch that room, they touch the doorway, they touch the hallway, they touch the kitchen, they touch the bathrooms. That's a third of that portion that has to be now sanitized. Okay, same thing on the men's side. Well, we don't have anybody to do that, nor do we have the equipment to do that effectively. So it's very important that for us that that's why these signs are on both of these parts of the building. We leave those buildings untouched, and guess what happens? By the very nature of time, all of it gets sanitized. Okay. And then after these meetings today, Caleb and I are going to take care of all of this area in here. Doorknobs, doors, and everything else. And then the only thing that'll be accessible is the office itself. So that's kind of where we're at on that. As far as communication, we'll keep using the scrolling bar across the website to update you on just general things. This lesson will be on the website as well this next week, so people that couldn't come can hear it. And then also, we're going to be sending out a packet to everybody. We printed the new directories early, printed them yesterday, so we're going to be mailing out a packet to everybody that's in the directory with a new directory, so you have up-to-date information for contacts, with a letter explaining what's going on, and some information about the virus and ways to prevent it. So those are the things that we're going to be doing as well. And we'll just keep people up to speed, and then we're going to kind of monitor the situation and adjust as necessary, but we are going to not have another service till at least after April 1st. The board is going to meet again on April 1st, that evening, that's a Wednesday night, and we'll reassess all of the information that we have at that point, and then we'll make a decision from there. Okay? So questions about what's happening and why we're doing it? Anybody? Yes. Well, we've talked about that, and it depends on how busy we are with the coordination of the care stuff. We're not sure what that's going to look like in terms of our time, because early on it's going to be Caleb and I doing a lot of it. We talked about doing a devotional and actually putting a video online, so they can just watch, do a little devotional just to encourage people with some spiritual thoughts and the Word of God. Yeah, Shell, did you have a question?
Oh, I was going to say there's a lot of archived messages on there that are really good.
Yeah. That's a good point. There's probably 6 years worth of messages on there. And they've all been just recently modified, so you can actually download them and put them on your phone and things like that and take them with you. You don't have to sit and listen to them at your computer. So we changed that format as well. But we're going to see how that unfolds. Yeah, Roy?
I was just going to comment, kind of a question to you. If the coronavirus comes isn't like the flu, that even when itself dies, it's cyclic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, that's entirely possible. They don't know enough about it yet, although they say it behaves a lot like other flus. They're saying so far that what they find, because it's part of the same flu virus. Yeah, we don't know that yet. Yeah. But looking at the incident rate in some of the countries where they were very aggressive, like South Korea has been very, very effective at reducing the number of new cases by aggressive social intervention things and cleaning. So, yeah, it's Wendy. We're gonna facilitate that. If you want to be a person that says, "Hey, I'm willing to get someone groceries and things like that," just call the office on starting Tuesday morning and say, "I'd like to be on the list of people," and we're gonna get a list of people who can and a list of people who need, and we'll start connecting them up, and then that will be your person and vice versa, so they'll know then to call you, not call the church and then call you, so then we'll connect you two together, and then you'll reach out to them. Let's say you guys want to do it, Wendy, you'll reach out to someone and say, "Hey, I'm your person. Just give me a shout when you need something." And then we'll take care of it. And we'll just handle basic protocols. You'll wear gloves when you go shopping, just even cloth gloves. And then when you deliver the food, just deliver it on the front porch. Okay? Other things, yeah. We did cancel the exchange seminar. And when we called them, they were not surprised at all that we were canceling the exchange seminar. Yeah, they were actually, I suspect they were relieved. Nobody really wants to come to Washington right now because of what's going on. And there's a part of this that's very challenging for us as leadership, because there's a part of this that is politically driven. There always is. And there's a part of this that's scientifically driven. Differentiating between those two is sometimes challenging. And so we have to kind of find that spot that makes sense based on good data, but also be mindful of the perception that people have about our choices so that we're not, I mean, the last thing we want to have people think is that we're like the church in South Korea that's been on the news all the time, or the churches back in the East Coast, one in D.C. and one in New York, that both caused the major outbreaks in their area. They've effectively quarantined a whole section of New York, so you have a hard time even getting in and out. We don't want to have that testimony. Oh, that's the church where the virus just went rampant, which is something we're mindful of as well. So, yeah, we're making decisions based on all that information. Yes, Cal. Yep. Well, from a money perspective, you can mail your tithe in. There's a box on the back counter there for today in case someone brought their tithe and didn't realize that this is what was going on. But you can mail in your check if you want to keep giving. I mean, we have faithful givers, and just mail it to the church, and it'll be processed the same way. And so that's not going to be a problem. And as far as operations go, I don't think that we only have 2.5 staff members, and we're going to be busy just like we always would be. So I don't really think it impacts us that way. I'm the most concerned and also the most optimistic about our opportunities as a church family to grow closer through this and to become more dependent upon each other and be like the New Testament church in Acts that had things in common. Because there may be a time when someone says, "Hey, I can't get any toilet paper, but so-and-so needs some. Anybody got some?" And somebody says, "Well, we happen to have a couple of extra bricks of it from someplace." And, you know, so it could be something as simple and practical as that. So I'm looking forward to the chance to help each other and to sow some cords of relationship. Other questions? Yeah. We're going to focus first on the church. If the need is not overwhelming, then we'll consider outside that. Although, really, the church is our first responsibility, okay? And that's where we're going to focus on first. Like I said, we don't know yet how it's going to play out. I mean, it could be that by next week the stores are back to normal, everything's available, and it's really easy. It could be that it goes through here and it's just a little harumph and nothing more. We'll not know how effective our choice was, maybe ever. But we could certainly contribute to the problem. We know we don't want to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I think that for us as a church, if we can keep people in the at-risk group, especially people who are older or have health issues or both, if we can keep them from having to go out, that would be a huge gift to them. Because there are many people in our church that based upon their health status right now, this virus, if they caught it, could be very, very debilitating, if not fatal. And so we have a chance to protect those folks, okay? For the overwhelming majority of people, they get it, and they may not even know they have it, or it feels like the flu. We have a lot of other things happening right now as well. There's colds and flus happening all over the place right now. So it's blended in with all those other things and camouflaged. The fact that we don't have any positive cases in Benton Franklin County gives us, we're in a good spot to get ahead of it, so to speak, in our contribution to it. So that's where we're at. Yes? Well, they're getting test kits out. I'd refer you to the Benton Franklin Health Department website, and we're going to put all that information on our webpage as well. But you go over there, and you can see where to get tested. There's a button for where to get tested, how to get tested. If you don't know how to do that or you have a hard time, give the church a call, and we'll help you with that. Okay? Yeah, we'll help you with that. They don't want to do tests just to screen, though. They're trying to test people that are having symptoms. They're symptomatic. Not that I know of. I don't. That doesn't mean there isn't. I just don't know. I know they've done tests. Just right now in the state of Washington, I think in your packet there's some stuff that just kind of shows the layout of it. You see the cases in our state, 642. That's gone up by almost 200 in the last just couple of days. But the vast majority of them have occurred in the King, Snohomish, and Pierce County. Yeah, they are. They're testing. I'm not sure if the next page. I don't have the next page on there for you, but they've done over 6,000 tests, and of those, less than 9% are actually positive. Okay, so they're testing lots of people in these areas where people are exposed. The Life Care Center in Kirkland was kind of the epicenter for the state of Washington, and there were 47 of their employees that tested positive for the virus, and every one of those employees is touching patients in the Life Care Center. And so you can imagine the complications that brought about. Okay. Right now, if you go to Richland Rehab or to most of the assisted living places, there's no visitors at all. You meet in the lobby because they're just trying to restrict that cross-contamination potential. So, other questions? We're going to do our... Yes, Shell? Amen. Well, I think that to do anything other than take appropriate action would be irresponsible. This page here that has Governor Inslee, it has the large print at the bottom, says King County, but if you read up in the smaller text, it says he extended that to all the states. So in case someone says, why aren't you having church? Well, on a Sunday morning, we usually have more than 250 people, and we can't do that. Also, from the Oregon Department of Health, this last one is their recommendation for large events and public gatherings specific to churches, for faith-based communities. And you see through there, when you read through all of those things, all those recommendations, like clean every hymn book, every song book, you really start seeing how daunting this would be to do that between every touch. And it's just not practical for us to do. I'm not even sure how you clean a hymnal on the inside, you know. It's just, but the best course of action for us is to leave things dormant and the virus dies by itself. Yes? Yeah, not in a rehab that I know of. Nobody's in the rehab right now. We have some that are in supervised living, assisted living, and senior apartments. Yeah. It is in most cases. I don't know about, like, the one up on Gage. We have several gals that are there. So is yours? Okay, so, yeah, they're locking them down. Yeah. Right, phone calls and cards are still totally legitimate. I took a card by the Richland Rehab just the other day for a gal, for an older lady who's there recovering. That's as close as you get to the front desk, though. And that's appropriate as well. Again, the whole idea of sheltering in place and minimizing the spread. Other questions? Yeah.
So we're going to get a packet in the mail.
Correct.
That has the updated contact information.
Exactly.
Pictures and whatnot. Is the congregation
Right.
You know, I mean, they have to really, you know, they will be excluded.
Yep.
There's no question about it. So
yeah.
Even if we don't have a close relationship to them, it's easy to write a card and say, you know, actually pray for them.
Yep. Well, that's why we're sending out the brand new directory, because it's going to have everybody's name and address in it and their picture, and you can send cards. It's a real chance. Back in the time of the first church in Acts, they didn't have the internet or the telephone or anything like that, and encouragement was either word of mouth or that was the encouragement. We can't do it in person, but we can call them on the phone. We can send them a text. We can send them a card. Those are lots of things we can do. So we're not without resources. They're just different resources than we would usually use. Okay. Yes, Roy. Well, there is. You can wipe it down. If you're not symptomatic and you know that, you can wipe it down. Now you have to be careful. Okay. You have to use good precautions. That's why we included the whole thing about the health department's sheet there, because it tells you if you're going to do some things, make sure you follow these protocols. Okay. Ultraviolet light's very, very easily destroys the virus. Okay. Sunlight. Is a real good killer of the virus. It lasts the least amount of time in the sun. So something as simple as if we get sun again, I know we got snow yesterday, but when the sun comes back out, you can literally set it on the back porch, flop it over, and basically ultraviolet it. So there's just, you know, different ways. Not to mention, it lives on most surfaces for about 3 days, and our postal system rarely gets anything there in 3 days anymore. So if you let it sit for a couple days and then you mail it, you know. Hey, there's no way to restrict all cross-touching, unless you just call people on the phone. But we can pretty much minimize it. And like I said, we're in a good spot because we don't have any cases yet in our area. Okay? If you feel, and something to keep in mind too, is if you're feeling sick, know that there's a lot of things going around. And stay home. There's back on the back table, there's some things from the Centers for Disease Control that talk about symptoms, the very specific symptoms of this. Grab a copy of that. We'll be sending all that stuff out as well in a packet. But and if you have any questions, both Pastor Caleb and I, our cell phones are in the directory, you can reach out to either one of us, and we'll be glad to answer your question or facilitate helping you with whatever need you have, okay? If you are sick, once we resume church and you're sick, stay home, please. No matter what it is, just a cold or whatever else, just practice really good hygiene in that regard and stay home. The high-risk people are people 60 and over, people with compromised immune systems or health issues or like... For example, Pastor Mike is extremely high risk, okay? Karen's high risk. George Mitri is extremely high risk, okay? Anybody like that? Randy Dunn, who just had his two heart surgeries, extremely high risk. A lot of people in our church that are good friends and serve vital roles in the church are high risk. When I talked to some of them on the phone, I wanted to share with you, when I talked to them on the phone, their response was, thank you. They were anxious about going, but they also wanted to be there. So that's where we're at. Other questions? Yes, Dale.
I have a boss at work who's extremely, he doesn't need God for anything. I don't know if you've heard of all the atheists or not, but it's interesting, this is also a time of opportunity because this has made him, he's not in the virus demographic, but he's closing in on it, he's getting older, and it has made him unreasonably fearful at times.
Right.
And so it's almost looked forward to with anticipation because of the benefits of, you know, sitting at Jesus' feet and but you know, he doesn't have that, and so he's extremely fearful.
Right.
And it's a good opportunity to try to open that door that doesn't exist when time is
normal, right. You know, that brings up a really good point, Dale, because as Christians, our response should be different both personally but also from a public perception perspective. And that distinct difference between how we're responding and how the public is responding should give opportunity to share the gospel or share why that hope lies within us. And it does. I really see that we didn't create this any more than we created the persecution of the Christian church after Stephen was martyred. They responded to that. They didn't control it, but they responded to it. And this is not a persecution directed at us, but it's a chance for us to respond to it in a godly way and manifest a distinct difference between how the church responds, people in the New Testament church respond, and how the world responds. be willing to share and things like that. Yeah, Bill. Sure. Yeah, if you wanted an additional packet of information, just let us know. Yeah. All of the stuff that you get is also available on the website. We'll put all the web addresses for that as well, so you can get it there as well. All right, any other questions?
Did you say that you're recording right now?
Correct. And this will be on the website. So all that information will also be available there. I appreciate you coming out. How many of you knew ahead of time that this was what this was about? So all but a couple. That's good. We originally were going to have, what happens is, one of the things that's really challenging in an event like this or a situation like this is managing information in a productive way. And so once it kind of got out a little bit beyond the scope of our group at the board, because we wanted to really get as many people to touch with this information while we still had no cases in our area. But this, it turned out that wasn't the case. So we put it then on the prayer chain, Facebook, and on the website. So keep looking at those. We'll be using all those tools as well to continue to communicate, but also you'll be getting some stuff in the mail. All right, yes?
There's a sign-up sheet out on the back table. If you're not on the prayer chain list, please put your name and email out on the back table.
Right.
That's one of the best ways other than looking at the website. If you're on there, you're for sure.
You're going to get it, right. And we'll try to keep people updated on a periodic basis. Okay, we'll do something each week to let people know where we're at. All right. Any other questions? Anybody have any needs right now? Any pressing needs right now that you don't see an ability to meet? Yeah. Yeah. Rebecca has surgery up in Spokane on Wednesday. And it's not elective in the sense that it really needs to happen. But these are not usual times. So pray that it goes through and it goes well. All right, pray for Roy as well. Roy's got the problem with his leg back, correct? His leg's bugging him again, so be praying for him. And pray for each other. Pray for Pastor Caleb and I that we have wisdom and energy. And don't get sick throughout this process as well. I'd prefer that, but I think he would too. So pray for us as well. All right? Yeah.
I would like to be able to be a helper. Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah, people have, if people need groceries, they would have gotten them if they could have gone out. So they have the funds for the groceries, okay? And we'll look at how to facilitate that. It may be that we get the groceries and then you just deliver them. I mean, we'll look at different things. You know, each situation is going to be a little bit different, okay? We've never had to figure it out before, so we'll do that together. We'll learn together. Nothing that you do first is done perfect. When you're first learning to do something, you do it the best you can, and then you learn, and then you make adjustments with each step as you learn. So we'll be doing that. Yeah. Yes, he has. It's a national day of prayer in light of the coronavirus because of that and what's going on. Encouraging all people to pray. And I would encourage all of us to do that for sure. Okay. But we need to make sure that we don't commit the error that's talked about in James, where we have faith without works. Okay, we have a chance to help each other and to maybe even help our neighbors, okay? And maybe it's not in physical help, but it's in the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, giving them some calm, telling them of the hope that lies within us, why we're not worried, okay? The response to a critical situation for a Christian should look different than for the person who is lost. And so let's really focus and make sure that we manifest the kind of character and hope and faith that someone who knows they're going to heaven and that God's got all this under control would have. It's really an opportunity for us as a church to help each other and to have a testimony. Okay? Anything else? All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you for this day. Lord, this is not new to you. This is not new to society. God, it's just maybe our first experience at it. And God, I pray you give us wisdom and a real sense of complete hope in you, dear Lord. Give us judgment and prudence as well. Help us to keep our eyes upon you and then to do practical things, dear Lord, that help each other and to help our neighbor during this time, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you very much for coming.